everybody. Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. I'm Kim, and please excuse me, I had a little bit of dental drama this week.
Well, I didn't have dental drama because all I do is speak in light language, Kim.
Oh, Kyle, this was a great episode. I loved this scene so much. We really like the galactic language really took it home. This girl thinks she's like in three body problem because she's speaking like galactic and
thank you,
to aliens, you know.
And I think she is. I'm not opposed anymore. Three body problem really opened my eyes to the scientific possibility of literally all of this being true.
Yeah, maybe she's right. I mean, listen,
galactic beings. I don't think that there's no other intelligent life in the universe. Who's to say they haven't sent, you know, neutrons across the stars that influence your speech patterns and give you insight and give you light language?
All right, so you're buying into this?
100% there, totally. Oh, okay. There. Yeah. Look, sequoias are impressive. Who's to say that angels speaking from the eighth dimension aren't going to channel some of the healing power of trees? Trees are an incredible part of our ecosystem, and we wouldn't be here without them. So
that's a 180 from Kyle, but I love it.
On board. Yeah.
Thank God Ashley and Manuel are back, though, because I missed the Bruja talk. I missed like the dumb stuff that they talk about.
The only thing I think I have a problem with, Kim, is I still have a hard time believing that 11th dimensional galactic beings believe in karma, but we'll get to that later.
We'll get to that later. Yeah. What Leandro, Jasmine's friend, isn't that the same name as Ari's like ex-boyfriend? Yes. Or ex?
Every rent-a-friend is named Leandro on the show. Leandro was real. There's no way they could cast that guy from Ari and Benny's story. That guy was amazing.
Yeah, he was real. I wonder what he's doing right now.
I'm really glad he admitted that they were in an Airbnb and didn't try to play that off like it was his place.
Yeah, I know, right? Aaron asked Manuel about like Ecuador. And I just found it, like, with everything going on there right now and in the last year, like, she had no other questions or comments about Ecuador except for, hey, a lot of UFOs there, right?
Nothing else has happened at all.
No, nothing.
No. There's no, I mean, political stability is at an all-time high.
Yeah.
No one's leaving because it's paradise.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Aliens. Yeah.
People have nothing fucking better to do than to look up at the sky and to think about aliens. Like alien sightings are for the most part, it seems like a privileged country problem.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although Manuel says he's heard of it. Okay. I loved this episode. I loved both HEA and Seeking Sister Wife this week. I thought it was great. I laughed harder than I have in a long time. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, compared to Love in Paradise, these were both funny and a little bit less so horror striking of content.
Although, to be fair, you didn't watch Ed.
Well, yeah, I cannot believe how long it took them to get the dick edited out of Love in Paradise. It's unreal. We watched it actually a little bit early because I was going on a quick trip. And we usually, I mean, I don't usually watch this shit until right before we record our B-Sides episodes on Tuesday. And if we hadn't watched it, we probably still wouldn't have been able to, we wouldn't have been able to do it until fucking Thursday.
I know. Yeah, because It took them like what, a day and a half to get it back up?
I think it was longer. It was almost three full days. And it came in fits and starts and just ridiculous. Crazy. Just to edit out a little dinghy. Come on.
Mirror. A dick on, in a mirror. Come on.
On fucking streaming HBO Max, where I can see I a know. Man's penis get severed and then fed to dogs on Game of Thrones.
Or dragons. Yeah, I know. Doesn't make any sense. Great stuff this week, just all around. I enjoyed Love in Paradise. I enjoyed HEA. I enjoyed Seeking Sister Wife.
How has Garrick been there for 6 weeks, dude? 6 weeks. I haven't been away from my wife for more than 10 days. Our entire marriage. It's amazing.
It's not even the wife. It's the kids. They have
the kids too. Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, I just got back from the beach, honey. She's like, oh, yeah, don't mind me just running our fucking business and like single momming our two kids.
It's hilarious.
Like, what are you doing?
That it's the best part is that she realizes she's pregnant and she still is like, well, based on the last 6 weeks, I could totally be a single mom because Garrick is fucking worthless.
All right. Who do you want to start with, Kyle? You want to go Gino?
Yeah, I not much happened here because, you know, this is one of those rare episodes where Jasmine is happy. So there's like basically nothing to talk about.
What do you think about Leandro as like a brother, but I only met him like 4 years ago?
I could only see that in as much as Jasmine has probably, a lot of people have made really close friends online since COVID. And
yeah,
with true. Gino being, you know, a long distance relationship, they're only together until she moved to Michigan, like a month, their entire life. So maybe.
Yeah. So did Leandra say this was an Airbnb or is that his house?
It's definitely not his house. He said it's rented, but he didn't specifically call it out as an Airbnb, but it's completely an Airbnb. It has all the aesthetic styling, all the cheap, everything in there is cheap, even though it's a nice house. It's an Airbnb.
Okay. I mean, he's not renting that. There's he's actually not like a that person. As like
an apartment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the first thing I wrote down on this episode is Coco run off. Coco is sexually attracted to men, which is great. I'm glad. Yeah. This is like really peak HEA content right here.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I get what Gino's trying to do by saying like, oh, your mom's so lucky she caught her cancer early. You know, she got the test done like early. But like when Jasmine's talking about her mom being sick, like, I just don't know that that's like the right thing to say. I don't know. What do you think?
He's just always been a dummy. But I think Jasmine at this point knows when his heart is in the right place and when he's trying to be an asshole.
I don't think he was trying to be mean. So
haven't we seen like a medical family emergency exemption to not being able to travel in the past on this show?
Rare.
I feel like we've seen that once.
I don't think so.
Someone's going to point it out in the comments. 1000%.
Well, the Turkish guy, he went home for something, but it was like a very rare exception that somehow they let him back in. But nobody, like, still today, nobody understands why.
I thought, I don't remember that being a medical thing. Mom has early stage cancer. She's depressed. So Gino offers to take her on a trip to Florida, which is always going to perk up Jasmine. And that's what's happening now. So we're going to spend the next like 4 episodes in Florida.
Didn't they go to Miami like last season?
Look, I get it. When we're in wood, like we're going to Mexico like every 4 months.
Okay. I mean, we know she loves Miami. Who doesn't? It's like Panama. It's warm. Leandro's
you can fucking
nice.
Public there. You don't even have to watch for cops there.
What was that story? She said,
I don't know.
She was banging her ex-boyfriend and Leandro was like watching for the cops? What?
And also the timeline feels a little strange considering I didn't even catch that you said they've only known each other for 4 years. I didn't catch that. So
haven't her
and Gino been together like that long? I feel like they've been on the fucking TV for 4 or 5 years. So who is Leandro watching? Was it Dane that was like fucking her in an alley or something?
I don't know.
Maybe also, that's the secret on the next episode.
Also, he's really good looking. Like, is Gino mad about that or like jealous?
The only explanation that I think would satisfy Gino is that he's gay. I don't know. That's the only thing I could think of. But who knows?
That pool looked nice. So,
like this conversation. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but like this conversation was completely apropos of nothing. They were in an Uber. Yeah. Going to his house, and then she's like, one time I wanted to fuck in public and Leo watched for the cops, and then I did it. And then Gino launches in, well, sex in public is what I've always wanted to do, and you can get finger blasted by another woman, and I'll watch. And then maybe I'll come get involved.
It's really bad. I mean, at least they get to be in a nice, like near a nice pool and drink champagne.
Well, we've skipped past the dark preview of what goes through Jasmine's mind when she's, can you imagine the intrusive thoughts that come into Jasmine's head when she's actually mad at Gino? As a joke, she says she is going to cut off his penis and make a smoothie with it and force him to drink it. That's some fucking like reek from Game of Thrones shit.
Yeah.
That's some Theon Greyjoy being tortured shit.
Oh, God.
Speaking of dicks getting cut off.
Ugh, rough. Yeah. I know. I mean, we'll see what happens with the alligators next episode.
You want me to cut off your penis and throw it at the alligators, Gino?
That really took it out of you, huh?
God, I only got one of those in me an episode.
I know, right? Let's talk about Mahmoud and Nicole. And Julian, really.
Okay. Again, what is this friend doing? Like, was I hallucinating or was Julian crying?
I mean, it looked like it. Yeah, he was like running after him.
Tear rolling down his face. What is happening?
Julian is up for an Academy Award. Like, I don't buy this. He's like truly concerned. I think he's just like trying to be dramatic, trying to run after him. He's like talking to him a bit like a child, like being like, sit down.
Again, still continuing to like physically block him.
Weird.
I did not get the sense that he was literally about to throw himself into traffic on Santa Monica Boulevard or something.
No, he's not like going to run out into traffic. He's just like walking down the street looking for a place. He's looking for a hotel, I think, or like maybe some tea or like food. I don't know.
And the funny thing is we find out later that he took Nicole's credit card with her permission with him. So
with her permission?
It seems like it.
Okay.
Because she's not mad that he booked a hotel with the card. She's mad that he booked a $300 hotel with the card.
Yeah.
And so this all has been, it just feels like we missed that scene where he's like, no, I'm fucking leaving. Can I have your credit card, please? Or maybe this didn't happen. Maybe it happened a different way where his credit card got declined, which he implies. And then maybe he just called her on the phone and said, listen, I need a fucking credit card number for a hotel.
Well, she acted surprised. Like when she said, oh, you know, you spent $300 of my money on my credit card. It appeared that she didn't know that, or that she wasn't aware.
I think it was just the amount.
Okay.
Which to be fair to him, I mean, does he even know how much $300 really means right now?
Probably not. I don't know.
And he doesn't know what a shitty hotel looks like from the outside versus a nice one. It would be hilarious if he was trolling her and just booking like the fanciest hotel with like a sick pool and a rooftop deck or something that like Darcy stayed at when Jesse called her fat. That would be fucking hilarious. Or Tom called her fat. That'd be hysterical. But I really don't think that he did it on purpose, because if he did it on purpose, they definitely would have filmed that shit. Just like lounging around.
No, I honestly, I don't think $300 goes very far.
It doesn't. No.
I mean, that's not a nice hotel. It's probably like not a nice one at all.
Well, it's not like Motel 6 level, but. Well,
maybe though.
No, you still get the seat. Really? You can still get. Are you kidding? Do you even drive around anymore, Kim? You can get a Motel 6 for like $79 still.
He's walking.
That's the thing. He's going to just stop at the first hotel that he sees. Right. That's again, I don't think that's completely on him. And he doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know how far things are. He doesn't have Uber installed on his phone.
He doesn't even have a phone.
I'm still banned from Uber for trying to like... having the audacity to try to order an Uber in Mexico. I'm permabanned. I don't know. I didn't talk to you about this.
No.
This was like over Christmas. I literally, the support won't talk to me. They think I'm a scammer. They think that I have stolen the account. They won't even respond to me. They just said this account is banned. And then they've like blocked me. They won't even respond.
But isn't there Uber in Mexico?
Yeah, and I've used it before.
I have too, like years ago, but wow.
Yeah, just banned, no communication. So anyway, signing up for a new Uber account is like a whole thing. And he probably couldn't even do it with his Egyptian debit card.
Well, I think that because he gave his phone back to Nicole when he left the second time, I think she gave him that phone upon arrival, and I don't think he even has a credit card. I don't know if he has any money at all.
He said that he said that he tried to use his card at the hotel and it declined.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's probably an Egyptian card.
I mean, also I'd be surprised that if he even has like a credit card at all, it's probably just a debit card. And I also wouldn't be surprised if he didn't have 300 US in his account. That's a fuckload of money for him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, we see them break the fourth wall. Production has to like put him in a production van because he can't get an Uber, and they take him somewhere. So really, he didn't really have, production took him to that hotel.
Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't even end up walking. He's on foot now the second time. But
it's hilarious that they took him to a $300 hotel.
Yeah.
I wonder if they did it. They just kind of drove to the first one, or if he was just like, there's a hotel. Just drop me off, please.
Yeah. I don't know. But like, so he goes, he stays the night. And then the next scene, we see him like trying to buy tea. And he is just like sitting outside drinking tea. I don't know if it's morning, I guess. But he says, like, I never thought about if Nicole and I fought, like where I would go and what I would do.
That's stupid.
Yeah, but it's kind of scary. Can you imagine if Nicole like walked out by herself in Egypt and had to go get her own hotel?
Well,
I don't think she'd be able to.
I think that she would, not because I think she's smarter than Mahmoud, but she at least has traveled.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know what I mean? He hasn't even left his hometown, it feels like.
No.
I think he was doing actually reasonably well, given the circumstances. And
she had money too, you know? She had her own money.
Right. And he says something that we say all the time. Love is not enough for marriage. And, you know, I hope that they do break up. It doesn't feel like they do, because we know that something really dark happens at some point where the police are involved. But so that's the only reason why I know this isn't like ending right now. Also, they haven't done the flashback montage that they do when it's for realsies over.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think this is over. He says, he's like, the only thing on his mind is going back to Egypt, and he's got to find a way to do it. When they meet back up at the apartment, finally, or do they even go? Yeah, they do eventually, but even on the phone call when he's drinking tea, he's like, she still blames him. She's like, no, you said, I'm mad at how you treated my friends. You said you were just tired. You lied to them. I'm like, that's the polite thing to do.
Right. Yeah.
Like, you don't tell your friends, oh, well, we actually were having a marital dispute about this, you know? Like, no, the friends come in, you're like, oh, I was tired, to be polite. And she's like stuck that he made her look bad. It's weird.
She's the one that made herself look like a complete fool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. His actions, if you remove like the source of this fight, which was, look, it's just dumb, we don't get it, but it's part of his faith tradition. As soon as she brings in the friends, like, all bets are off, and he handled it, I guess, like the best he could. He just wanted to leave.
Yeah.
And this whole thing was completely absurd on her part. And she accuses him of being a mooch and a user for the entire relationship. And I mean, it's not like she's ever complained about sending him a bunch of money or something.
Yeah. What did he use her for?
This is the first time there's ever even been a money argument at all.
I mean, he definitely didn't want to come. He didn't want a green card. I'll tell you that.
Right. Yeah.
You know? But yeah, I loved her mime outfit. I laughed out loud when he showed back up. And she's like, you spent $300 on my credit card. And he's like, I don't even want to talk to you. I just want to pack. He literally just wants to pack and leave. He gives her credit card.
That's a bad attitude. Yeah, he got somehow he gets $300 in cash, it appears, and puts it on the counter.
And then gives her his phone. So now he is back out roaming LA with no phone, no money. What's he going to do? How is he going to get home? It's like The Amazing Race.
The Amazing Race to the homeless shelter or something. I don't know. And I also wonder if there's some, because she is responsible for him financially, I wonder if there's also some kind of liability for his personal safety that she is not accounting for here too.
I don't know.
But one thing that's interesting is maybe this happened, we just didn't see it. It doesn't feel like he's even really contacted anyone in Egypt.
Yeah.
He's always texting, but it's just hard to know who he's talking to. If he was serious, you would think that he would be on the phone with his uncle, like trying to figure out how he's going to get the cash to get a one-way ticket back.
I bet he was. I mean, if you think about it, like, we talk a lot about like, oh, this is fake, that's fake on the show, but this is not fake. He is remaining like very calm. I think he's very aware of how he looks to the camera, and he is like not saying anything. He's not being violent. He's not fighting. He's just like fully trying to get home. That's it. And I think he's done.
Yeah, I think it's on the way. Interestingly, flights from LAX to Cairo are not as expensive as I thought. At least right now, just looking at Google flights, a couple weeks out, $500.
Oh, wow. That
yeah, really? One way.
Yeah. Well, that's good news. I mean, he can either stay in a hotel two nights or fly home.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's also funny that she, I mean, I guess I understand this a little bit, but it just felt really condescending when she kind of is indignant about the idea that he can find a hotel on his own.
Right.
Which is kind of funny because he literally just did. You're just mad that it costs a lot.
He did. I know, but he did it. He did well, actually, I thought.
I mean, he managed to get himself here. He did the interview at the embassy. Yeah. He got the flight, and I don't know. I feel like Mahmood.
He ordered tea.
Like, she just kind of like Mahmood is a very deeply, deeply religious person that has ideas that I don't agree with, and sometimes the way that he behaves makes him seem just blinded by their I don't even know if I want to call it love, but ultimately he's not a dumb guy. He's just young.
Yeah.
And she kind of treats him like he's a complete dumbass because he hasn't traveled around the world as much as her. And I think that he's like reasonably capable to get himself back or to like not end up in the gutter.
I forgot about that she was like, you think you can just go out and find a hotel? He's like, yeah, I already did.
I mean, yeah.
already did last night. What are you talking about? Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this is America. If you have the money, you can find whatever you want. Like, right. Easy.
Kyle, have you ever walked into the wine store and you're just like, I have no freaking idea what wine to buy in the store?
I mean, look, I just get the same bottle over and over so that my wife doesn't get pissed off for picking out crappy wine.
I mean, look, I barely even drink, but we both know we pretty much have to drink while watching 90 Day, especially Single Life, and like definitely Seeking Sister Wife. It's a lot better if you're drinking wine, like a little tipsy.
Just pretend that was wine. I'm definitely not watching this sober. Okay. Come on.
Well, it's a good thing this podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines.
Naked Wines is a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the best independent winemakers so that you get a box of the market's best quality wines for a fraction of the price you'd pay in stores. That's because when you buy wine today, most of your money goes to things like fancy packaging and big budget marketing campaigns and tax.
I love paying tax. So fun.
Yeah.
It is actually really interesting, like the business model. Naked Wines connects directly with winemakers and wine drinkers directly. So it's connecting these two parties directly. So the vineyard can offer direct to your door delivery at up to 60% off what you'd pay in the store. So by cutting out the traditional retail middleman and all the cost and markups associated with that, winemakers can pass those savings on to you, the wine drinker, directly without skipping on quality. And because of the way Naked Wines does this business, you'll get exclusive access to hundreds of top quality award-winning wines at a huge savings.
I got a box of wines from Naked Wines, and I got the most incredible wines that I would never have picked out at the store. Not because they're not amazing, but I just wouldn't have known to pick them.
Yeah, same. I just drank a bottle of Rudy von Strasser Cabernet Sauvignon with my husband last night. We were watching Top Chef. I mean, you have to be fancy when you're watching Top Chef, so you need a good bottle of wine.
Okay, like, Meghan Markle.
I would have like never picked this wine, but it was so good. We love full body, like big reds, and it was just fantastic.
Naked Wines has a quiz that matches you with bottles that you'll love, and each shipment includes wines that they recommend based on your previous ratings. I feel like I have to make so many decisions every day just to get through life and be an adult. So having someone else pick out wines that I'll love is just a real luxury for me.
I agree. It's like having a personal shopper, but for your wine. So, and also like Naked Wines, it's not some fly-by-night operation. They've been around for over a decade, and they fund 90 Day Fiancé, independent winemakers. Each bottle is a passion project from an independent winemaker. So you're literally making an independent winemaker's dream come true, which is really cool.
Well, whether you're bougie like him or not, go to nakedwines.com/craycray and click enter voucher in the top right when you get to the website and put in craycray for both the code and password to get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. That's nakedwines.com/craycray and use the code and password craycray to grab 6 bottles for just $39.99. One last time, nakedwines.com/craycray, code and password cray cray for $100 off your first 6 bottles.
You want to talk Emily and Kobe pretty quickly, I guess.
Yeah. One scene.
The club is really starting to like kick off now, you know?
Yeah.
It more lively than last week, I would say.
I think you can sum this scene up as Kobe finally gets permission from the producers to say what he always wanted to say. And he mans up and was like, okay, like it's pretty clear you guys probably shouldn't come to my wedding if you're talking this much shit.
Yeah.
Which I kind of believe that, like, just based on the last episode, a lot of people were saying the same thing we were saying. I'm not trying to claim this is an original idea or something, but I think there was broad agreement that Emily was kind of set up by production and Kobe to just kind of walk into this situation where the friends had easy ammunition to just like dunk on her for taking them to a club. And they just continue to double and triple down. I mean, there was one guy that was like, well, I guess we should try to blend a little bit better. But everyone else was just couldn't let it go. Like they fucking understood the assignment here, you know, which was just to continuously never budge whatsoever, cause drama for HEA. And Kobe, I feel like, was told last episode, don't intervene.
Yeah.
Because I mean, just can't picture him sitting there and watching her just take it for that long. And he finally
he's ride or die. I mean,
I agree.
Look, I know that a lot of people really hate Emily, but like, I don't know how you can disagree. Like, if you look at it objectively, one of these guys is saying, are you really going to maintain this, Kobe? Like, seriously, you're going to like keep this going with this marriage? And like, if you're Emily, what are you supposed to do? You have 3 kids with this guy, with your husband. Like, I don't know. I think a lot of people sit down and be quiet? Like, what is she supposed to do?
Well, I do think a lot of people would expect their husband to defend her rigorously. I don't think that she should feel like she has to step in and counter that argument with his friends. Mm-hmm. The fact that she does doesn't make her bossy or shrill, but the fact of the matter is, I think that she felt like she had to, because Kobe, for whatever reason, either because he really was conflicted and didn't want to look like a wimp to his friends, or production told him to let the drama floweth forth until the cup runneth over. He's just sitting there silently, not intervening, and so she's gonna speak up, and I don't think it's like crazy.
I died when Valerie was like, in Cameroon, when the man talks, woman, sit quiet. I'm like, okay. Yeah, no, not going to happen. But I also like when she like got up and went away and Kobe had to go get her. And she was like, I might go back after I down this drink and have another. refill, as she says.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the guy looks straight at him and says, what is the future here? Are you going to do this seriously?
Like really?
They have 2 kids.
They've been married.
And they're going to make number 3 tomorrow.
I think number 3 is already there.
I hope not, because she is chugging Cosmos.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. She's not pregnant.
I mean, maybe she is and she says no, but... Yeah.
They have like a 1-year-old. Like, oh no, that's Scarlett. Oh, you're right. I think she's not pregnant yet. The new baby is new, pretty new.
It's funny that when he says out loud, you know, if you guys are going to be like this, maybe you shouldn't come. They all just like start squawking like hens. Kobe, come, come, come here. It's like all of them at the same time, but none of them really get up to like run after him. They're all just still sitting.
Yeah. It's good. That's really it for them. Ashley and Manuel. This for me by far was the best. Like, this was the funniest. I loved every piece of this. The final scene with the galactic light language.
Yeah.
I think is like top 10.
Totally.
Yeah. Great.
I also loved when they're driving around and he's like, look, a witch.
It's a wicked billboard for like Broadway. Honey,
that's wicked. The show.
I mean, that was great. Yeah. They talk a lot about the word bruja and like riding broomsticks and like two frogs and a mosquito and a spell and whatever.
All of which is completely innocuous.
Yeah, totally. Like,
if that's what a witch is, so what?
Yeah.
It's just funny that like his examples of like, oh God, witches, so evil, are just like flying around and, eating frogs and shit.
Yeah. I mean, he says in 2023, witches don't ride broomsticks. They drive cars.
Clearly.
Okay. I mean, the Ashley thing of like, you can't control me. You're downplaying my brujeria. Like, come on, man.
Well, this isn't that much different than when my wife and I are about to go meet a new couple there have been several times where we've been going to dinner and it's someone that she works with. Mm-hmm. And she'll look at me and she'll say, can you not talk about shrooms? Look, this isn't that much different. Can you not tell them that you belong to the Satanic Temple this time, Kyle? Like, well, I don't know. What if it comes up? What am I supposed to say? Stop trying to control me, woman. Dear God.
I mean,
it's not that hard to keep a lid on the weirder parts of your personality until you fucking get to know someone.
If I was like meeting my husband's like uncle that was like deeply Catholic and I just like would avoid.
You wouldn't do magic tricks immediately?
No, no, Corey. I would just avoid that topic. And she does. Ashley says, oh, you know, I didn't say the word bruja because I was trying to keep the peace.
Yeah.
So she knows. And I mean, the uncle was very sweet to her, called her niece, called her, oh, my niece, you know. And
he seems like such a good guy.
Yeah.
He's
very nice.
He immediately corrects Manuel again that they're in Newark, not New York.
And then goes on to say, oh, the woman came from the man's rib, and that's what God said, and the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, women coming from a man's rib is just as plausible as galactic light language to me. So yeah. I'm on board with all this shit, bro.
Yeah, aliens are more fun. I mean, Ashley says, like, I'm surprised that Uncle Leo is, like, preaching Bible verses at lunch. And I'm like, why? You did tarot before Manuel could even go out to dinner when he was hangry. Why are you surprised?
You can't go 3 seconds without talking about spells and cards and the Empress and, the Pisces and shit and walnuts. So why is it surprised? Like, this guy is surrounded his entire life with other Catholics.
Yeah. I don't know why it's surprising to her. She tells him.
It's just funny how, like, she she's surprised that this dude is overly religious. Like Manuel told her.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she does. I think that she does a reasonable job of not going hog wild, but also not just straight up lie. I mean, she doesn't lie to him, but she doesn't go overboard. I mean, it's a lot, but just say, I mean, he does press her. He does follow up. He doesn't let, when she's like, well, I'm in spirituality and stuff.
Does he ask her, what do you do?
I guess she does say tarot unprompted, yeah. Kind of.
I don't remember how they start like talking about her doing tarot and working in spirituality and astrology. It sounded like she offered that information.
No, I mean, he just straight up asked her, are you religious?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Why didn't she just say, I believe in God? Done.
That's a good opening salvo if you want to deflect. Yeah.
But I'm glad she talked about tarot and astrology because it's funny for me, the viewer. But when he started saying, no, 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 the Virgin Mary, I was like, oh, God. He doesn't believe in any of this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if the bar, which is kind of what we've heard from that priest, if the bar is, you know, you can believe in whatever you want, as long as you like, but it is kind of offensive to us to believe in things that are above God. You have to think that predicting the future based on tarot cards kind of supersedes the will of God, right? If you're that priest, you have to think that's like,
yeah,
kind of by definition, skirting around the whole divine entity situation. So I imagine that tarot is really not cool with that dude.
When we saw Manuel's priest back in Rochester, he didn't seem to have a big problem with it.
Well, no, that's what he literally said. Like, listen, I don't know. He kind of was like, I don't know about that. He was trying to play it cool, but he clearly said, if you believe things that, you know, make God out to be underneath something else, we're not okay with that. But he wasn't a dick about it.
No, I mean, overall, this was like fine. The good part is when Manuel gets his hot pink satin shirt on,
right,
and they go out to the club.
Yes.
I loved this so much. Aaron, Ashley's friend, is a colleague in the spiritual realm.
Yeah, right.
And
sure.
She works in the galactic realm. She uses a form of language to connect with galactic beings. So like aliens, honey.
Aliens, honey.
Light language.
When you are constantly talking to galactic beings such as Robin Williams, it is important.
Oh my God.
That's
literally the language that they used, isn't it?
Yeah, dude.
Wow.
Yeah. If you don't know what we're talking about, there's a little shack in Crestone, Colorado, that's calling your name, and you need to look up, what's the name of the documentary? Mother God.
Yeah.
You need to look up Mother God, because this person may have escaped. She may have paid $777.77 to learn the light language from Mother God a couple months ago.
Okay.
This is good stuff. If you are in contact with galactic beings that are teaching you light language, I feel like, you know, day-to-day relationship problems just must feel so mundane to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, it feels like you should be solving like the bigger issues that are happening in the world. Getting Kyle, ready to join the Galactic Federation of Planets.
She feels energy activations.
Yeah.
If you're not open to receive energy, it's not going to work. I think Manuel thought he was like going to engage in a threesome when this started happening.
He's ready to receive all sorts of energy.
I mean,
he wants to get Leandro to watch in the alley to make sure the cops don't show up.
Look, anytime anyone starts talking about like finding bad things inside of you and then clearing them, I'm like, Scientology, no. Isn't that what they do? They like clear things?
Yeah, thetans and shit, etc.
Very culty language.
So question for you. Mm-hmm. Did it feel a little bit suspicious that after she psychobabbles for about 15 seconds, she knows exactly every single one of Manuel and Ashley's problems down to the exact T? And is it just a coinky dink that they're really good friends and colleagues and she just knows everything about them?
Does she know everything about them? All she said was, the biggest red flag that I see is communication. And you have to have trust.
I guess that's
any couple ever.
That's true, but it's following their exact plot line a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know. Trust and communication. I mean, if someone said that to my wife and I, I'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, our trust and communication's fine. But
yeah,
I love Manuel's reaction to this whole thing in the ITM. So great. So fucking great. Can you feel the energy? No.
He's like, I didn't feel anything. Blah, 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 blah. And if you're a new listener, like Kyle and I don't do astrology and we think it's pretty harmless, but like we don't believe in this stuff. I'm sorry. We don't.
So. Not for one second, but this is great. I mean, look, again, if you watch Three Body Problem, this actually becomes completely feasible, Kim, because what if the galactic beings from another galaxy have sent sophons to Earth and they're clearing it out. Their psychic and quantum healer. She said the word quantum, Kim. She said, I'm a quantum healer. She's entangled through quantum entanglement over the light years with her galactic overlords. That's how she knows all these things. She said, I'm a quantum healer and psychic healer and galactic communicator.
Okay. Well, Kyle.
So all of this fits within the realm of science, Kim, if she is receiving messages from galactic beings over quantum entanglement.
Kyle, I would like you to bring your awareness to your heart center.
Okay.
And the language will begin to come through and move energy through your body.
Okay, I can hear it.
Sequoia, 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 sequoia. Sequoia, sequoia, sequoia.
Did you just receive a fucking download?
I did. I'm moving my hands really quickly. I'm really moving my hands a lot.
Yeah. How does someone receive the gift of light language? Is she chosen by the Robin Williams? Who are the other galactic beings from Mother God? Know. Mother God.
Angel.
Galactic.
What did they say? Angelic beings? I don't know.
I think they were the Galactics. Rodney Dangerfield. That's great. I tell you, I get no respect. Whitney Houston. No, sure. Stop. Yeah.
If you guys haven't watched Love Has Won, please, like, run, don't walk.
Love Has Won, the cult of Mother God.
My favorite part of this is that Manuel just cuts her off while she's talking about, like, her download, I guess, and says, no, you have it wrong. Because she keeps saying, oh, you have to, like, release what's old and energetically, you know, communicate or something. And he's like, no, the problem is that Ashley doesn't trust me. And, you know, I try to go for a walk and she tells me, oh, who are you talking to? Who are you texting? Who are you talking to? And he says that is the problem. He like cuts her off. He's like, none of this galactic stuff. That's our problem.
It's so funny that Aaron is going through her spiel. About like, listen, communication, and you need to stabilize trust. And every time she says literally Ellie anything, Ashley's just nodding along. Yes, yes, I agree. And, you know, he has to be open to be taught things. Oh, yes. Yes, totally. I agree. Yeah. And then as soon as Manuel opens his mouth and starts to tell his side of what he perceives the problems are, she just starts screaming.
You're an asshole! You're not a fucking jailer!
Oh, man. This is top 10. I loved it. I loved it.
Oh, I totally buy it. Angels and galactic beings, and why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Three Body Problem taught me the physics behind all of this stuff, Kim. My eyes are opened. My third eye is opened up.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk Patrick and Thais. She has time some great what the fuck like faces, I would say.
Just baffled, stunned. Yeah. Pretty good.
So tomorrow's your first day on vacation. Let's clean the walls and paint the entire apartment. What do you think?
Makes sense. Let's do it. This whole thing, someone has to be trolling here, and I don't know who it is yet. Someone has to be.
He's like, Dad, I have one leg.
And I haven't seen you for 2 years.
Yeah.
If he's raising the rent on his own, like, okay, I still feel completely ignorant about what the rent and ownership and tenancy situation is in this scenario. Apparently, Patrick is paying rent.
Why?
He doesn't even live there, but Dad continues to raise the rent $100 like all the time. And Patrick agrees to it, but nothing's fixed, but he still keeps raising the rent. I don't understand what's happening at all still.
Why do they pay rent for an apartment they never stay in?
For 2 years. I don't know.
It makes no sense. Like, Dad could Airbnb this place and, like, get other
Maybe
income.
He does. Maybe he double
he probably
dips.
Probably does. Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, why would it need to be painted again? Yeah. You have to think, like, the apartment looked in great shape when Patrick left last time.
How is it clean if they don't ever live there, but they pay rent? Like, if nobody's in the place, like, how is it clean?
And it was ready. It was ready for them to habitate in. So I think he probably double dips. He gets rent and Airbnb. It's great.
Yeah. I mean, Jose definitely liked the dad. He likes to speak English. He speaks English on camera. He's really happy to see the baby. It's cute. The baby's cute. That is a cute baby. Yeah, but mama wants to get that baby to sleep after a long flight, and she's happy.
It's all discombobulated. And yeah. Do you think that Patrick really likes helping his dad?
No.
Or, yeah. Thais thinks that he's just kind of desperate for love. I don't think it's that serious, but their relationship does seem a little bit strange. Given the history, dad boned out after the divorce and went back to Brazil.
Yeah.
And Thais sees him as a taker, but how does she fuck it? I don't know. I feel like she, how often has she seen them even in the same room to make that judgment?
Well, I think based on the information we know that he's paying rent for an apartment they don't even ever stay in, and that the dad is asking like him to do chores and on his vacation, and this has probably happened before. That's all. Like, what else does she need to know? If those are her two interactions with the dad, I don't know.
But she, I don't know. I feel like unless his dad is very well off, which Patrick says very clearly he doesn't have any money, I think this is probably just a substitute for Patrick sending money to his dad to support him, like almost any other cast member that comes to the U.S. does. And at least Patrick is getting something out of it. He's getting a place to stay when he comes. So I feel like Thais knows that. And if she's still complaining about it, she should know better, because she fucking sends money back to her family too, probably. And this is at least.
I think her family is wealthy.
You think that dude Juan, her dad, is wealthy? I don't think so.
I don't know. She's never talked about money ever.
Because Patrick is loaded and it's never needed to come up.
Yeah, maybe. I just want to see the ranch. Because Patrick says, I don't want to paint this apartment, but I will go help on the ranch. I'm like, can we please see the Brazilian ranch?
Please have Thais stepping in huge piles of cow shit.
I agree with her, though. I'm not painting on my trip. No way.
No. And if I was Patrick, I don't know. If it's one of those things, it's like, I'm going to do it with my dad and it's a father son thing. Like, okay, fine. Right.
Yeah.
But he's so loaded. Just pay some dude to fix all of it while you're there.
Again, one leg.
Yeah.
One leg. I don't know. I'm curious. It feels like this is a little bit embellished, like drama.
Right.
And I'm curious to see, like, I think that these two are just so normal. I don't think there's a lot of drama. I think they have a good marriage generally. I think they're pretty aligned.
This is why it's very important that John is on the way.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Thank God. I forgot about John.
Totally. This is the kind of thing that we were afraid of when they were announced as a couple on the season, that it would all just be like this. Like,
yeah.
Barely.
No, we need John.
Anything, for
John
sure.
Would be like, I'm not painting there. I can't wait till he chimes in. Is he staying with them in the apartment?
Totally. He has
to
be.
Oh, thank God. It looks like it's one bedroom because the baby was sleeping like right in the bedroom with them.
Yeah.
Kyle, I think. Wait. Next time on, Gino and Jasmine look at alligators. Hopefully she doesn't feed an alligator his dick. I don't know. Maybe. We see Thais's dad again. Doesn't seem like he's really like approving of Patrick.
You think?
I don't think so. I don't know why. Like, they're married. They have a baby now. Like,
I have no idea.
What are you doing?
Maybe I have goldfish brain. I just don't remember why this guy is so butthurt about Patrick. Other than just Thais isn't there anymore.
Thais didn't tell her dad she was getting married.
That's her fucking fault.
Right. Sophie's mom's back, thank God, because she brings drama, even though I don't really like her. But they think that there's like that Rob has a quote unquote ho phone. Because Sophie thinks she hears a phone vibrating, but doesn't know where it is. And it's not his regular phone.
It's probably his dildo.
Or hers. What if it's her dildo?
He hides his dildo in between Schwag and Zelda or whatever the fuck other tarantula's name is.
The best part looks like next week Ashley and Manuel keep like fighting at this bar where the galactic stuff is happening and other bar patrons tell her to be quiet.
I know. I think the bar owner has to lecture her about her behavior in public, which is great.
So funny. And then Nicole is in her mime costume, like driving through LA at night looking for Mahmood.
Which is, I mean, that's just Saturday night in LA, you know?
Yeah.
Mimes driving around, yelling out for where's my Muslim, you know?
Yeah. It's great stuff. Hello, lovely listeners. Are you super bummed that this podcast is just about over? Do you want to hear extended podcast commentary on 90 Day Fiancé, 90 Day Gossip, and coverage for other 90 Day and reality TV? Or do you just hate ads? If you want to listen to Kyle and I talk about the absurdity of the 90 Day franchise of shows and occasionally other reality TV for even more hours every week, sign up for our premium podcast feed either via Patreon or with our 30-second sign up on Supercast. It's only $5 a month. It's extremely easy to sign up for and add to the podcast app of your choice. You'll get an extended version of this podcast weekly, about 1.5 to 2 hours long, and our B-Sides episode, which drops on Wednesday, where we discuss more 90 Day Gossip, any other 90 Day shows that are currently airing, and that means the brand new season of Love in Paradise, also Seeking Sister Wife, and soon, we hope, 90 Day UK. You'll also get full access to our complete archive podcast catalog. So what are you waiting for? Treat yourself. Visit realitycraycray.com to sign up now. That's realitycraycray.com. I mean, he's still like rolling his suitcase down the sidewalk, so it's great. I thought this was a great episode. I really enjoyed it. I laughed a lot. I laughed so much at the galactic light language.
It's great. It's amazing.
The Mahmood and Nicole stuff is really delivering for me. I just am like riveted. I didn't expect it to be interesting. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm really enjoying it. What do you think?
I'm ready to talk about Seeking Sister Wife on Patreon.
Okay. Well, we will be back next week. What are we talking about on B-Sides this week?
Love and Paradise. Yes. So fucking gnarly and good.
It's great. You should watch it. It's on Monday night. Highly recommend.
Unless they forget to edit out a penis.
There was a delay. They released the episode. They rolled it back. And then they re-released it like a day and a half later.
It was like 3 days, dude.
Yeah, I know. It felt like a long time. That's it. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next Sunday. Very late. Or Monday.
Talk to you
with
soon.
HEA's episode 8.
Bye. Boy. Thanks for listening to 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen. You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. Join our community of Cray Crays by subscribing to our premium podcast feed for $5, either on Supercast or Patreon by visiting realitycraycray.com. Benefits include 3 times the podcast content you get now, ad-free, covering all other 90 Day Fiancé content, and our listener-requested favorite shows outside 90 Day. Access to our members-only Facebook group with thousands of 90 Day fanatics, our podcast archives with over 600 episodes, all ad-free, and you can listen to all of that on your favorite podcast player. With an optional subscription add-on, you also get access to our long-form documentary podcast, D-Sides, where we cover the latest streaming documentaries. You're almost there, lazy. Go to realitycraycray.com and sign up literally in seconds if you use Apple Pay. All the links I've mentioned are in the show notes. Thanks again, and see you next week.